guess we're going to move to number seven. Still asking that we go ahead and take a moment before Richard starts to grab a lunch. Like, let's go ahead and set time for us to go ahead and eat while he's here. And what do you say to that? So let's help ourselves to the bottom line. Okay, Richard.
Thank you. Make in front of you, you have the River Authority Retirement Trust presentation from the Bogdan Group. I guess as everybody knows, the market has been very, very, very volatile. And I could get you to turn to pages 2 and 3. Last quarter, the quarter ending March was a very good quarter from the standpoint of both domestic and international securities. From the standpoint of the trailing year, however, there was a big divergence. Last year, there were some significant ups and downs in the domestic market, and there were some significant ups and downs in the international market, but the international market had a little bit more downs than they had up. So for the trailing year internationally, there were negative returns, 7 to 8% negative returns in international stocks, whereas domestically, basically 7 to 8% positive returns for the trailing year. So big difference, if you will, on international and domestic. From the standpoint of the Russell style indices, growth outperformed value pretty much across the board, both large and small stocks, and for the Russell 3000 also. That's for the quarter, and the same thing for the trailing year. Growth, large cap growth was up 11%, large cap value up just shy of 5%. A significant difference between growth and value. And as a matter of fact, in the small cap area, value had a negative return of about 1%. And large, normally you think of, small beats large. Well, last year that didn't happen. Last year, large cap stocks were significantly better than small cap stocks. And we're going to see that same type of performance when we look at your portfolio. There are other things I could talk about from the standpoint of the market itself, but really if you turn to page 9 and take a look at the Treasury yield curve, the overall yield curve has come down a bit. It's come back a little bit from the end of 2011, December 2011, but not much. We still have extraordinarily low interest rates. That makes it very, very difficult to get any type of maybe positive returns anyway going forward, because we're in a very low interest rate environment. Does not bode well for income producing assets, especially. Very tough. Very little change, if you will, on page 10 and 11. Very little change from the standpoint of manager setup, with one big exception. We did add during the quarter, actually the beginning of March, some exposure to real estate with Cohen and Sears REIT. And so we do now have a little over 4% allocation to real estate. However, with what just happened with defined contribution, that's going to bump up close to 5%, and that was taken into account when we made this position to make sure that we didn't over allocate into real estate and then have to pull more money out to stay close to the target. on page 13, look at the target allocations that we've been talking about and trying to move towards. We're a little bit over, if you will, allocated to large cap equity, a little bit over allocated to small and mid cap equity. That also has been reduced significantly because as we moved the defined contribution allocation out of the plan, that's where we got the money. So the allocations are pretty much right on the move towards target and everything.
So you're pulling that money as much as you could out of large cap.
And mid cap. And mid cap. Yes, we did. So we're getting closer to overall allocation. We still, and later on, hopefully, we'll talk about MLPs again and trying to get some assets into that asset class.
When do we have to move money to Cody?
March, right around March 1, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It happened right before the, the early March.
And we moved then money to the defined contribution
May the 1st, just the first few days of May, right after the April, right after the April 30th.
On page 15, take a look at what happened from March 1 to March 31, and this is because we did have that allocation change. It's about the corn and steers type of scenario. The beginning of the month, we put in like 900 and a little over 940,000. The end of the month, it was worth 988,000. So a very good start, if you will, to getting into the overall REIT area. We expect that over time we're going to get real estate returns. Obviously, dealing with REITs versus having direct real estate, you have a little bit more volatility because of the emotional factor in the overall market. Well, now we can talk about returns on page 17. We can go back to 16 if we need to look at it. It's a year-by-year numbers, but on page 17, looking back over time, like I said, the last quarter was a very good quarter from the standpoint of the equity markets. We have more assets in equity than we do fixed income. So from the standpoint of the overall retirement trust, we had a good quarter, up 8.6% on a net basis. And that put us, if you will, above average from the standpoint of other public plans, the median return of which was 8.1%. So above average return from the standpoint of the last quarter. From the standpoint of 1 year, we have above average returns. The standpoint of 3 years, significantly below average. So things have been moving in a positive direction here, and we're anticipating or hopeful, and not going to work, that continues to happen. The overall equity portfolio had a return for the quarter of 12.5%, trailing year of 3.4%, pretty much right in line with the overall investment policy, 3 years below what the policy was, 18.6% versus 21.9%. Domestic equity, slightly below average return with a 12% return, and for the 1 year time frame, above average return from the standpoint of other all cap equity portfolios, but below, if you will, the overall benchmark. BlackRock's large cap core, they talked about their returns earlier. From the standpoint of the quarter, very good returns. from the standpoint of the overall year, has good returns on an absolute basis. From the standpoint of the overall year, 6.9% versus the S&P 500 of 8.5. 3 years, 19.1 versus 23.4, so below the S&P and below average compared to other actively managed portfolios. Royce per year, on a relative basis, had a tough quarter, up 11.7%, 2500 index was up 13, pretty close to what happened from small cap medium, which was 12%. From the standpoint of since inception, though, they've added significant value of 14.7%, which was better than the Russell 2500 and also significantly better than the median return of mid-cap. International equity had a very good quarter. 14% positive, first quartile types of return. Trailing year, we saw earlier that it was negative from the standpoint of international security, so should expect a negative return, but it was much, much better from the standpoint of relative return, down 2.2% versus the MSCI All Country World XUS Index, which was down 6.7%. So on a relative basis, very good return, and also very good return compared to other international large cap equity portfolios, ranking very close to the first quarter. From the standpoint of since inception, also very good returns on a relative basis compared to the index and compared to other actively managed portfolios. And you have one manager, so all the numbers we were talking about was Harvard. Fixed income, from the standpoint of BlackRock's fixed income, up 0.5% for the quarter, 7% for the year, slightly, if you will, above the Barclays Capital Intermediate Aggregate Index, below average compared to other actively managed immediate portfolios. And from the standpoint of longer term numbers, also a little bit better, if you will, on the 5-year time frame compared to the index, and slightly below the median return. On the steers, nothing there to report really, except from the standpoint of since inception numbers up 5%. So we got in on a positive note, which is a good thing to have.
It's always fun to start that
one. Yes, it is. The rest of the charts in here, we can go through them, are really graphic portrayals of the numbers that we just talked about. And you can see on page 18, just looking at the combination of the portfolios that we just talked about, the overall total plan for the 1-year time frame, close to first quartile returns, being up 4.9% from the standpoint of total plan return, rank of 34, slightly below the policy. Index 3-year number somewhat disappointing, 13.3. But the 2-year number was also very good on a relative standpoint, being up 37th percentile. Any questions on performance?
How many performance numbers are you at?
Well, no. It's that the number here compared to other plans is gross because some plans pay fees outside of the plan. So we try and look at them apples to apples, so those numbers are gross. We have the net numbers were in the other display.
That's one of the questions I raised. Our fees are taken from the fund. We don't pay those. The RA doesn't pay those outside.
That's right. So you get to see what happens.
That's right.
The numbers net of fees.
They're paid out of the trust.
Yeah.
There are a lot lot of plans that pay them separate from the trucks.
Yeah. Makes the numbers look better.
Yeah. Very true.
But like the overall numbers, the bottom line here, retirement trust, that was what we earned, that's gross.
On page 18, that's gross.
So like the top of page 16.
The top of page 16 and on top of page 17,
mm-hmm.
Those are net.
Those are net.
I said after
16. Well, those are net, and then 17, the next page is gross.
Right, and gross are on that, on 16 and 17 also, is the next line there. From the actuary standpoint, everybody's standpoint, we want to know, you know, what is it that we're earning after paying for everything.
Yeah.
It's really an important number.
What is our average cost?
Off the top of my head, I do not, but you can look at it from the standpoint of the trailing year for 2011. The return gross was 1.3, the return net was 0.9, so about 40 basis points.
Yeah.
Except for 2008, it was, well, 8 and 9 looked like they're 60 basis points, the rest of them looked like they're 40 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it was pretty different with the other year.
Well, there were some changes that happened for more recent time frame is you brought in mutual funds that came in or net. So you don't see the gross number from the mutual fund, it's only net number. So that would drop what you see from the standpoint of the differential between your gross and net, because it's just not there.
Well,
your gross number could be up high.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, what you're saying, because it's the 40 basis points, plus then there's some underlying fees associated with the mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really paying more at 40 basis points than last
year. Right. And that number would go up corresponding. So that's why, it's one of the reasons we'd like to look at that net, overall net number. But the only thing that would change from the standpoint of looking at the gross number, the net number, is your rank compared to other pension plans would really be higher.
No, I'm not trying to figure out where our rank is. I'm just trying to figure out what we pay in total.
Yeah.
All in, all done, counting the fact that
1.1.
That's significant.
Mm-hmm. When you add the, of course, the management part of it, you got trustees,
custodial fees,
actuarial fees,
yeah.
You have accounting fees. We do with to do a financial statement on this.
Legal fees
to some extent.
Yeah.
Well, some of those we paid outside the plan.
No, that's really investment.
Oh,
you're going to have to pay an actuary. I mean,
right.
Yep.
Some of that you can't do.
Like you said, if you paid I didn't realize that any of those expenses you just said were paid out of the plan. The actuarial fees paid out of the plan. Then you have legal fees that are paid.
We had some. We were doing this, but we have
the termination.
Yeah, the termination letter stuff. We had some legal fees. Yeah. Sort of one time. Now some of that we paid ourselves. I think the BRA chose to pay some of that outside of the plan. Some of the legal fees because it got sort of high because of some of the stuff. So.
And what are you paying the trustee, the custodial fees?
Theirs is about $3,000. It's probably about $36,000
a year.
$36,000. About $3,000 a month.
Yeah, that's not that significant.
Right. And now, again, I have to go back and look at the mutual funds, the BlackRock folks. I think their average fees are about
40.
I think they're less than 50 basis points. I think they're about 45 basis points is their weighted the weighted average between the fixed income and the equity side is close to about 0.5%.
That's what the BlackRock is. In addition to that, fees associated with the underlying investments.
The mutual funds are separate, but not theirs. No, I think theirs, that includes everything.
Does that include the per share cost of our trading activity?
No, the spreads are, you got two different parts. From the BlackRock, you have the management fee plus trades. On the mutual funds, you're going to have internal management fee plus trades. Those trades aren't disclosed.
But there is a per share cost.
6 cents.
6 cents per share trading cost.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not included in that 6.55 average?
That's not included in the 45 basis points.
Right. It's not, when you say 45, it's probably closer to 50.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, it depends on the year. Some,
sure.
Some years.
Moving on, are there any questions on any of the charts? I know we sent this out early last week. The active, portion, obviously, we're trying to beat the overall bogeys by more than whatever the fees are. Both of the mutual funds have done that since inception. And I guess the other, since they are reported in, net, and the other thing is we're looking at BlackRock, would be on the return there would be on a gross basis. And if you look, I mean, it's really interesting that since inception, at least inception from where we have data that we've been able to calculate from the standpoint of, BlackRock and the S&P 500 for the equity calculation, 4% versus 4.1, pretty close to matching the index, from the standpoint of a gross return. Then if you were to take it to net, subtract off of that whatever the fees would be there. And the same thing with the fixed income, 6% versus 5.8, would probably be a little bit less than the index. Any other questions? Next thing that I wanted to cover, if we could, is, and I think because of time, and unless someone would like to talk about, information, manager evaluation on intermediate fixed income and on large cap core, which we sent out. Just, take a look at those books. I'll give you hard copies of them to take home. And we can further discuss that when we know what's happening with the overall portfolio. Right now, it's kind of in limbo. But I want to go ahead and get some information, too.
As I understood it, this was kind of alternative investment options.
Yes.
To consider.
Right.
Versus BlackRock, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I looked at it, but I said that's what you were doing.
That's correct. And plus in the intermediate fixed income, there's also a non-core diversification section that I put in there, so you can take a look at that. We've talked about that in the past about